We'll start the this will be the meeting on February 23rd, 2022 of the Regional Plan Implementation Committee. We're commencing at 10:40 a.m. And the first item on the agenda is roll call.
Ms. Alding?
Here.
Mr. Bruce?
Here.
Mr. Friedrich?
Here.
Ms. Gustafson?
Here.
Mr. Honigman?
Here.
Mr. Lawrence?
Here.
Mr. Yates?
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. So the first item is approval of the agenda. Any changes in the agenda, John Hester?
No, Mr. Chairman, there are no changes.
Okay, thank you very much. And so we'll move on to now approval of a set of amendments that are on page 29 of our packet. Anybody have any corrections, additions to the minutes, or want to make a motion on approval of the minutes? I'm be welcome.
Oops.
Thank you, Shelley. All those in favor, whoops, and if we have a glitch here. I'm sorry. Can people still hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm good, because I just got knocked off. All those minutes, do I have to do a roll call?
No.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion to approve the minutes, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay. I've lost my cheat sheet. I've lost everything. I'm out of control. So the next item is item number three, the discussion and possible recommendations of the Bijou Al Tahoe Community Plan Amendment, allowable height for public service buildings on parcels owned by the city county at the 56-acre recreation center site. I note, John, you have to recuse yourself from this item because your residence in proximity to the project area.
Correct.
Okay.
So. See you soon.
All right. So, Jen, are you going to start this off?
I am. I'm ready when you are.
I'm Excuse ready.
Me. Let me jump in here, Bill. I think that this is Joanne Marchetta. I think that you need to read the meeting rules before we get going.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. They're right there in front of me, too. I don't know. I had a phone call come in and just got me all discombobulated because it knocked me off my computer. But anyway, let me go over the meeting rules for the RPIC meeting today. To observe and participate in the meeting, go to www.trpa.gov. And select February 23, 2022 Governing Board meeting on the calendar and follow the link to the webinar. Members of the public can find all meeting materials there as well. In order to participate in this RPIC meeting with your comments, please use the hand-raising function in the GoToWebinar platform at the appropriate agenda item. With your hand raised, you'll be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the Regional Plan Implementation Committee. If you have contacted TRPA for reasonable accommodation and received a unique PIN number for dial-in, please make sure that you enter that PIN so that you may be identified and unmuted by TRPA staff. If you're using GoToWebinar's Instant Join web app, please make sure it's opened in the Google Chrome browser and that you allow access to your microphone in order to be unmuted. If you're joining via the call-in number posted on our website, please note this is a listen-only option. If you wish to address the Regional Plan Implementation Committee, you will need to log in via GoToWebinar on your computer, tablet, or smartphone, or dial your unique PIN number. Or committee members, if you wish to speak, please alert me via the chat function if you are online, or speak up if you are calling in. Please set your chat box now to message and panelists and organizers to ensure that I see your message. Remote committee members may only use the chat function to indicate desire to speak. This function must not be used to have sidebar conversations. Please remember to mute your mic unless speaking to cut down on background noise. Finally, I would like to have all remote members turn on their cameras, as we now have sufficient capacity on our platform to accommodate everyone. I believe that's it. Okay, now we turn ourselves to our agenda item number 3. And Jen, you will, I think, start this off.
I will. Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Jen Self, Principal Planner with TRPA. I'm joined with John Hitchcock, Planning Manager for the City of South Lake Tahoe. I'll provide just an overview of this item, and then I'm going to turn it over to John, who's really going to go into the details of what these amendments are. The city is here today seeking your recommendation to the Governing Board to adopt amendments to the Bijou Al Tahoe Community Plan as provided in the packet and as we'll discuss today. This review considers conformity of the community plan amendments to the Lake Tahoe Regional Plan. In order to make the recommendation to the board, there will be 2 proposed motions that will require action on your part, and we'll present those at the end of the discussion today. The proposed amendment and the materials begin on page 559 of your packet. Please note there was an errata that Maria sent out yesterday for this item. The errata included a correction to the motion language and then also a finding of no significant effect to supplement the findings that were already in the packet for the initial environmental checklist. So the Bijou Al Tahoe Community Plan amendments as provided in the packet and that we'll discuss today were initiated by the City of South Lake Tahoe in January of 2021. And this was in anticipation of a new recreation and aquatic center on the property commonly referred to as the 56-acre site or the project area. The new recreation center application is currently under review with TRPA. The staff planner on that is Paul Nielsen. And that is anticipated to come before the TRPA Governing Board for consideration in April 2022. Please note that the actual project is not before your committee today, but these amendments were designed to help facilitate that. The City of South Lake Tahoe and the TRPA Governing Board adopted the Bijou Al Tahoe Community Plan in 1995, and this community plan is centrally located along Lake Tahoe's South Shore. It includes a real heavy concentration of public services for the local community in the city, including Lake Tahoe Community College, middle school, El Dorado County government offices, there's law enforcement, sheriff's office, there's some detention centers. Also the USDA Forest Service administration buildings are in this area and so on. Other land uses within this area include recreational, such as the Lakeview Commons site, and then also commercial and retail, such as the Harrison Avenue shops and restaurants, and then the Rite Aid Center at the corner of Al Tahoe Boulevard. This community plan provides a guiding vision for the area, as well as goals and policies, permissible land uses, and specific design standards. So the proposed amendment before you today really focuses on allowable height and architectural design standards. Again, John's gonna go into more detail on that. The Bijou Al Tahoe plan is one of 2 remaining community plans in the basin, the other being the South Y Industrial Area. Since the adoption of the 2012 Regional Plan, over time, these community plans are superseded with the adoption of area plans. Over the past year and a half, the City of South Lake Tahoe has developed a master plan with public input to envision future recreational and public service uses for the 56-acre project area. This master plan was adopted by the city in January of this year. And according to city staff, now that the master plan is complete, the city does anticipate coming forward and initiating an area plan process beginning fall of this year. If the committee has questions on either the master plan or future area plans, John is happy to answer any questions on those. The City Planning Commission and the City Council have reviewed and approved the proposed amendments as provided to you And as we'll discuss, the City Council adopted the amendments on January 18th of this year. And if RPIC recommends TRPA Governing Board adoption, TRPA staff has tentatively scheduled this item for the Advisory Planning Commission in March, and then a possible consideration of approval for the Governing Board in March as well. So those are a few logistics and kind of process steps on our end. I'm going to now turn it over to John Hitchcock to go through the amendments.
Thank you, Jennifer. Good morning, Chairman Yates and Governing Board members. For the record, John Hitchcock, Planning Manager with the City of South Lake Tahoe. The item before you today is consideration of the Bijou Altao Community plan amendments that have been adopted by the city. Next slide, please. Here's a location map. So 56 acres is a small portion of District 4 of the Bijou Altao Community Plan. As Jennifer mentioned, District 4 is primarily has public service uses, including the Lake Tahoe Unified School District, the City County Government Center, which includes the Sheriff's Office, the Police Department, and also El Dorado County Court System. On the Lake Tahoe Community Plan, on the Lake Tahoe Community College parcel, we have the college itself, as well as the U.S. Forest Service LTBMU office, and also the SGPD, South Tahoe Public Utility District, is also part of District 4. There are a couple private parcels within District 4. There's actually four parcels. One is a group facility, the other is a vacant parcel, and then obviously the cemetery that's located along Johnson Boulevard. Next slide, please. The amendment itself would allow additional building height up to 42 feet with no minimum cross slope or roof pitch requirements. The amendment would facilitate construction of the new city multi-generational recreation aquatic center, which is located within 56 acres. The amendment itself would actually only apply to county and city-owned properties when the 56-acre project area is adopted in the 56 acres master plan. All the properties within 56 acres are either owned by the county or owned by the city. Within District 4, height on Lake Tahoe Community College properties and on the Lake Tahoe Unified School District properties are not affected by these amendments. Those are actually handled on an individual project basis by TRPA. Height for all the projects outside of 56 acres that aren't owned by either LTCC or LTUSD would be subject to Chapter 37 of the TRPA code. Next slide, please. The current standard within the Bijou Altao Community Plan for District 4 requires a 712 roof pitch. Generally, it's not feasible for large institutional buildings that require large spaces, such as recreation center, gymnasiums, auditoriums, to have a 712 roof pitch. Strict adherence to the standard would exceed TRPA's height ordinance. It would create a structure that is visually intrusive to the neighborhood, and also would increase energy demands to cool and heat the large volume of space. And furthermore, we do not believe with those increased energy demands that is consistent with TRPA and city sustainability goals. Next slide. The amendment would allow for construction of a building that are high quality and designed for the functionality of services, energy efficiency, and compatibility with the surrounding neighborhoods. And with that, next slide, please. The city did, for our process, we did circulate initial study mitigated negative declaration. The analysis did not find any significant impacts on the environment with mitigations applied to specific resource areas. The city's currently doing the project, is doing project view on the project itself. And as Jen mentioned, Paul Nielsen is doing the TRPA review for TRPA. And through that process, the project will be required to make TRPA scenic as well as height findings in order to approve the project. And that concludes my presentation. I can answer any questions that the governing board members may have. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Any comments from my colleagues? Mark, I see your hand raised.
Yeah, I had a question regarding the distinction between this community plan and the area plan. And how we typically use the area plan process versus the community plan. Maybe Jen could kind of give us a history and tell us a little bit about that, because I want to make sure that we're following kind of the typical process here.
Sure, absolutely. I can start off that. There is a little bit of echo, but I think I captured your question, kind of just the distinction between community plans and area plans. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, great. So community plans came into effect after the 1987 regional plan. There were several community plans around the basin. They are primarily focused on commercial areas and things like that. With the adoption of the 2012 regional plan, area plans were intended to supersede older community plans as well as plan area statements. And with the 2012 regional plan adoption and that option to do area plans, there is also incentives put in place. So additional height, coverage, density allowances, and things like that. If local jurisdictions were to adopt an area plan. So over time, these community plans have been phased out. We now have a good portion of the basin is covered under area plans, but there are remaining plan area statements and community plans. Does that answer your question, or would you like me to go into more detail?
Yeah, that answers that question. Appreciate it. Tell me, would you give me a little idea of when we have used the community plan versus the area plan to do something to process a project like this before? I mean, are there exceptions typically, or where have those been? When have they been with respect to this area?
With respect to this area, this is actually, this would have been, or will be, if recommended for approval, the third amendment to the Bijou-Altajo Community Plan. The first was actually the first two were actually done in 2020. If you recall, there was an amendment that came forward for roof pitch in relationship to the redevelopment of the Boys and Girls Club within this area. Kind of similar challenges came forward with that building as far as the necessary roof pitch in order to meet the architectural design, but also just the functionality of that space. As you can imagine, Boys and Girls Club, it has some gymnasium spaces and large meeting spaces and things like that. And the roof pitch at the time under the Bijou-Altajo Community Plan would have created a much larger building in mass and volume that would not have been sustainable to heat and cool that type of facility. The next amendment came forward. It was presented by the City of South Lake Tahoe, but initiated by some private development, the Tahoe Beach Retreat. That's essentially across from the Safeway grocery store. With that amendment, the Tourist Court Area Plan and the Bijou-Altajo Community Plan boundaries shifted. The Beach Retreat and the CVS Bijou Marketplace that were part of that amendment were in an existing kind of legacy town center with a lot of legacy development. And so that amendment occurred to shift that boundary. And so areas of the Bijou-Altajo Community Plan are now incorporated into the Tourist Core Area Plan. And this amendment would be the third to the Bijou-Altajo Community Plan.
Thanks, Jen.
Sorry, Shelley, I was muted. You have a question.
I do. Thanks, Bill. Jim, and maybe John will have to answer this question. On page 568 of our packet, there was mention of some opposition letters that we received. The conflict of interest, I'm assuming, related to John Friedrichs. But could you expand on what the historic resource impact concerns were?
I can turn that over to John Hitchcock.
We received letters stating that certain members of city staff, as well as city council members, had conflict of interest. And those members, like council member Friedrich, did recuse themselves from any action on the amendment itself, as well as one of our director of development services also recused herself from this particular project. We also received some comments on potential impacts to historic resources. The environmental analysis concluded that there were no impacts, particularly to the Pony Express Trail and the Lincoln Highway.
Okay, thank you, John. Also, I just had a kind of question, a definitional question. This relates to quasi-public facilities. Now, as I understand it, the properties that would be impacted by this change are city or county owned. So does that merely facilitate a private sector, public sector partnership in which a private party would construct the building, perhaps lease the land from the city or county?
I think that's true, because within 56 acres, there are buildings that are owned by the city or owned by the county. They're actually leased out to private entities or quasi-public entities like the Art League or the Historic Society. So in those cases, those projects potentially could qualify for these amendments if specific findings can be made.
Okay. Thanks, John. Thanks, Jim.
You're welcome.
I've got a follow-up on that for Shelley. Bill?
Okay, Mark.
If I could. Okay, thanks. John, can you help me? So is the significance that these are all county and city buildings, that the intention is that these height restrictions apply to city and county buildings, and that there not be a private building that could take advantage of something like this without an area plan?
That's,
I guess I asked the question because are there restrictions on transfers on these properties? How is it that the protection that you're looking for is covered in the event that one of these properties is transferred?
I don't believe that the city or the county would be transferring any of these properties. These are owned by public entities. 56 acres is from the city perspective is the heart of the community. We did develop a master plan for build out of that property, and it's primarily all public related uses.
I would add to that, looking at the proposed language that the city brought forward, it does state for public and quasi-public owned buildings,
yep.
So not just the property itself.
And I guess my follow-up on that, Jen, would be now or into the future as well?
Jen, I think the question is to you.
Yep. I think that, there is there's some open to interpretation that would be needed on that at the time of a change of use or a transfer.
Jim Lawrence, you have a question.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is, it's either to Jen or John. Jen, doing your recap, you mentioned the Boys and Girls Club amendment, and I do recall that, certainly recall the presentation that, having, requiring steep roof pitches on large public buildings just is not practical for a number of reasons. But I guess my question, I mean, it probably is to you, John, is so by changing the roof pitch requirements, that still doesn't get the city to where they need with this aquatic facility. So in addition, you need the additional height in order to build the building, or does the roof pitch alone just get you there?
We need the height and the roof pitch. We need the height to accommodate the space, and then a lower roof pitch that won't result in exceeding TRPA's height standards, which is max of 42 feet. So
just changing the roof pitch doesn't allow to build an aquatic facility.
It doesn't.
Okay. Thanks. And then I guess I am a little curious. I hear what you're saying, John, that the thought of the city selling these buildings or properties, at least at this point in time, seems, you know, not likely. But you never know. And so I guess by just changing it to public and quasi, and then if a building were to go through and then it was to transfer, are we just sort of creating a situation of non-conforming uses potentially?
Well, I guess if that transfer does occur, that the building in the future would be considered legal non-conforming and could be maintained as is, but couldn't be expanded. But okay. You know, the intent is to use 56 acres as a public recreation area operated by the city as well as the county.
Okay. Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Shelley, you have another question.
I do. Thank you, Bill, not to belabor the point, but John, on page 604 of our packet, it talks about the 56-acre project area, and the change, proposed amendment would allow a maximum height of 42 feet for public, quasi-public, or recreational facilities with the 56-acre project in District 4 with no minimum cross slope or roof pitch. So what is the distinction between public, quasi-public, or recreation facilities? In other words, a private party can propose a recreational facility that could also take advantage of this amendment?
I don't believe so. If the project is not public or quasi-public, then the private entity could not propose a project. It's potentially that the public agency may construct, let's take the ice rink, for example, which is, you know, constructed by the city. However, we do lease out, but it's still a public structure.
Okay, well, maybe the wording is a little awkward. It's a little confusing because it seems that the public, quasi-public, and recreation facilities are standalone projects. So, you know, that might need to be kind of tweaked to make it a little bit more understandable, at least from my perspective. And then is there, following up on that, it also includes, the amendment includes reducing the minimum roof pitch requirements to 5 to 12 for other structures within the project area so that it aligns with the citywide minimum requirement. I mean, is that necessary? I mean, I can understand the project that's currently being proposed, this recreational center. I understand the challenges. Of course, I'm assuming these roofs will be sloped. I mean, not pitched, but sloped to facilitate the removal of snow. And I'm assuming there's going to have to be some, you know, structural accommodations for snow load if it's not slightly sloped. But, I mean, is it essential? What are you visualizing aside from wanting it to conform to the city's minimum requirements for roof pitch? I mean, I don't understand how that relates to your long-term sustainability goals as stated in the material.
Well, it's so So the 512 root pitch is the minimum requirement we apply, and we apply citywide. We wanted to bring this community plan for now into compliance or consistency with that minimum roof pitch. It's been our experience that the 712 root pitch does not really work even for even smaller structures. For example, those bathrooms that the restrooms that are located on the campground site, we were not able to design a bathroom with a 712 roof pitch that could be accommodated on site, because these are prefab buildings and there was no way to construct a restroom with 712 root pitch and actually bring it into the basin and actually put it on site. So as part of this process, we thought it would be ideal to bring this community plan into consistency with standards that is applied citywide. It's our intent that when we do initiate the area plan process this fall, that we will be looking at all the standards that that currently are applicable in the Bijou Otago Community Plan and make that consistent with our other area plans that have been adopted, as well as the citywide design standards. For us right now, this is basically a stopgap measure to facilitate construction of the rec center.
Okay, well, I guess, Jen, I mean, does TRPA, should TRPA look at amending its standards? I mean, if the roof pitch that we require is unreasonable, I know we can do that on a case-by-case basis, but was that roof pitch specifically designed to address residential structures as opposed to commercial and industrial buildings? Is that why there's kind of a disconnect between what's practical and what's required by our code?
The roof pitch requirements are actually dictated and called for in the local plans. And so that's something that those roof pitches may vary depending on what local plan, you know, is subject to the discussion or future development.
So there is, on a per project basis, there is some built-in flexibility, right?
For the community plan that we're talking about today, for the Bijou Otago community plan, the roof pitch standards were pretty rigid. Mm-hmm. And that is why the city is proposing some changes today.
And I can, yeah, and I can probably expand on that 712 root pitch. I was around when they were developing that plan, and I think intent of the planners at the time was to kind of mimic some of the older historic structures on Harrison Avenue, such as Rojo's. If you look at Rojo's, that has a fairly steep roof pitch. And I think that was kind of the architectural aesthetic that I think the planners were attempting to recreate. But I mean, with today's sustainability goals, I think that type of roof pitch is just not feasible.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't see any other questions from my colleagues. So John and Jen, I just to the comments I've heard from Shelley and Jim and Mark, one of the problems I've got with this proposal that's before our pick is the fact, I mean, I wasn't here in 1995 when the community plan was done. I came in shortly after the regional plan was implemented. All that I really have before me is a blue square showing where this is, and seeking height amendments for more than the rec center. It says all buildings, all public and all quasi-public buildings there, and I don't know how many that might be. I don't have the master plan in front of me. It also says that and the amendment they're proposing at page 573, that we're going to allow for public and quasi-public owned buildings. The maximum height permit is 42 feet with no minimum cross slope or roof pitch requirements. provided TRPA makes findings 1, 3, 4, 5, 7, and 8 of our code section 37.7. So is that, can we make those findings having made this change? That's my question on just that issue alone.
Do you want me to respond, Jennifer?
Sure, you can respond, and if I have anything additional, I'll chime in.
We actually worked with Paul Nielsen on the findings, and we believe all those findings can be made. And we actually modified the design of the rec center in order to be consistent with, I believe it's finding number eight.
Okay. So is the rec center just one building, John?
The rec center is just one building, sir.
So this applies to all public and quasi-public owned buildings on the 56-acre site?
That is correct, sir. So that would be the parcels that are owned by the city and the parcels that are owned by Anne Arundel County. That includes the existing rec center, actually, which will be eventually demolished in future.
And so also in addition, you're adding to the concept of a wood siding or a natural appearing siding. And to me, that's really vague. What does that mean, natural appearing siding?
Well, there's because we are in a severe fire hazard zone, we added that provision to bring it consistent with the city's design guidelines, which promotes all types of architectural aesthetics, including modern mountain architecture, which generally uses materials such as precast concrete or even hardyback, but it's designed to appear natural by either creating texture in those materials or by using darker hues that are earth tone colors.
So is that in the definition somewhere in the community plan?
It is not.
Okay. I understand we're going to have the project before us in April, and we've now seen what you presented to us today. I'm having a hard time wanting to recommend anything to the governing board without a better sense of how these structures are going to sit on the 56-acre site. Because that's to me, this is a, as you described it, this is a really significant piece of property in the city. You come driving into here from into South Lake. This is your view of the lake when you turn the corner here. And across there at Harrison, there are some, parking problems and other issues. You come into catch a bite to eat at Sprouts or stuff like that. It's a popular area. And yet we don't even know how the parking is going to go within the 56 acres project site for the expanded rec facility or where the access would be. I have a blue square. That's it. I don't have the master plan, which has been approved, and this was started at January of this year, or last year, and now February of this year, we're making a change for all public and quasi-public buildings on this site. I would like to have some more specificity. I've had more specificity. The language that you're using, that's why you're doing this, is a shed-like structure that has a roof that it's the language that was exactly used for the boys and girls thing. And so that seems to be what the city is proposing to go through the 56-acre project site. And I'd like to know, is this going to kind of look like a military barracks as you kind of drive along 50 now? I mean, these are just issues that we don't have in front of us right now. And yet this is one of the most significant entryways into Lake Tahoe area for people driving into it. I'm struggling with, what I'd really like to do is have you come back with more specificity. So in March, we could deal with this plan amendment. I prefer an area plan, but it's a little late in the game. And then you would still have time when the project comes forward that we would get this. So I understand this is an important project. It's a good community project. I understand all this stuff, but there's a lot of unknowns just in the questions that have been asked by my colleagues and that I had in reading this. It's like, what all are we amending an old 1995 plan when we really should be dealing with an area plan? It troubles me. But I like this project somehow to go forward, but with a much better understanding of the impact of this project, how it sits on this 56-acre parcel, and what additional buildings would require all this height change, and how that would look. Can that be done? So in March, we would have a much better picture of this, how this plan amendment fits in with the overall project proposal? Or can we just limit this to just the rec center and just deal with this in a really piecemeal way, but at least allow the rec center to go forward and not have this apply to all other buildings and everything else that's going to go in this master plan that we haven't seen?
Chairman Yates, thank you for those comments. I believe we can limit it to just the rec center. Obviously, the city would like to be would prefer that the amendment apply to all 56 acres, similar to how height is treated on the Lake Tahoe Community College property as well as the school district. But just to give you a sense of the project itself, can we go back to the slide where I actually have the site plan and the elevations? Just to give better context to what the city is proposing on 56 acres for this project. So the image on the site plan you see on the far right, so I'm not sure if you were, but currently right now the rec center itself is, the existing rec center is located in the southern portion of 56 acres project area, and it's accessible via Rufus Allen Boulevard. The proposal is to build the new rec center closer to the highway across from Lakeview Commons. It's set back considerably. It's set back a couple hundred feet from the highway. And then when I had my discussions with Paul Nielsen on the project itself, we're preserving over 200 trees between the project itself and Lake Tahoe Boulevard. So, you know, based on this highway speed and the direction of travel along Lake Tahoe Boulevard, we feel that the project itself is not going to be visually evident, especially when, you know, the view attraction in this location, where you're looking north or where you're traveling east, is really Lake Tahoe. So we don't believe from a scenic perspective that this project will have an impact. So the project, if you're aware where the El Dorado County Library is located, this project would be located adjacent to El Dorado County Library, and we will be expanding that existing parking lot to accommodate additional parking for the rec center. Between the rec center and the highway itself is going to be active and passive recreation spaces, and then to the west of the project will be what we call Adventure Play, which will be developing outdoor recreation activities for the Tahoe youths. I know a lot of this information will come when Paul brings the project before you, but I just want to give you kind of context on what the city is proposing.
I appreciate that. And I like this a lot better. If we limit this to just the rec center, or we would have the sense of how this all sits in here. The master plan would come forward since it's been approved. With, as you say, this fall, you'd be doing an area plan amendment where we would have the whole picture then before us as to what more is going to happen to the 56-acre site. I would think that I feel more comfortable having all of this information before our pick, making sure that I'm just concerned about the precedent that I don't know about here, if I just simply say, okay, you can do all this on the 56 acre parcel, and later on we go, oh gosh, why did we do that? But for the rec center, I mean, I didn't have this photo or any of the site plan, just had a blue piece of blue square. A lot of questions. So that's my sense of this whole thing. As I would prefer putting this over for March for a little more information. And then it all comes together in April before the governing board for approval.
Mr. Chair,
I probably should open this up to public comment at this point. So unless there's any other comments from my colleagues, I'll do that. So Maria, would you open the public comment, please?
Mr. Chair, we'll give it a moment to see if there's anyone that raises their hand to make a public comment. We have, looks like Steve Teixeira. Steve, please go ahead.
Thank you, Maria. Chairman Yates, members of the RPIC, Steve Teixeira speaking to you on behalf of Tahoe Chamber. We have tracked this project and the development of the master plan for several years, and I understand the committee's concerns, and this is the purpose of RPIC, is to identify any concerns, and certainly everybody in favor of this project wants this committee and the governing board to be fully satisfied that this is going forward in the way that it should be. I just wanted to say for the record that this is one of the most robust planning processes that has gone on the South Shore in many years. Been tremendous amount of public input and participation, Zoom community meetings, input on the design, the layout, the master plan, the partnership between the city and El Dorado County to finally resolve some of the issues that in the past have barred moving forward with a project like this in the center of our community. There is really a tremendous amount of citizen involvement, elected official involvement, planning involvement, and I just want to make sure that y'all understand and appreciate that. You know, having said that, again, I understand the concerns of the committee and that you want to be fully supportive and understanding, and if there's another session that you need to get to that point, we certainly understand that. But this is an exciting project, and lots of people who are typically not on the same page when it comes to things on the South Shore are on the same page with this. There's been money approved by voters for the rec center, and it's really an exciting project. So I just wanted to put that on the record to go along with the discussion that you've had. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate you taking the time, and I appreciate the background information you provided. Any other comments?
Mr. Chair, it looks like there are no further public comments on this item.
Okay. So I'll bring it, close the public comment period and bring it back to the board, to the committee. I still feel strongly that I'd like to have more information for this committee to feel comfortable making a recommendation to the full board, but I'll leave it to my colleagues as how they feel about it. I made it clear how I am. I do appreciate what Steve said. Staff made it pretty clear to me that this is an important project. I understand it. I don't want to hold it up, but I want more information. I want to have a real sense of, and it, because the language used by the city includes more than just the rec center building, and because there's more to this than as an overall master plan, I kind of like to get a sense of what we're approving, recommending, and then going to the full board. So,
Bill, I had a comment.
Cindy, you have a question?
Question and a comment for the rest of the committee, because I'm relatively new to this committee seeing a project like this. So, you know, I'd like to signal to the city personally that we're flexible and we're interested in seeing this move forward. Is there a way to send that message? Because I'm aware how much detail goes into these projects and how long it takes to get them developed. Is there a way to signal that and or condition the project on coming back with answers to the more detailed questions? Because the amendment, as I read it, is only for those public and quasi-public facilities. And so I trust our city partners are going to do a good job in both reaching out to their community on these standards and any deviations. And I guess I'm flexible in wanting to look at how we accommodate this, because as we all know, the regional plan looks at intensifying those uses in those transportation corridors to really achieve multi-benefits. So I want to be flexible in our standards, but support the city's efforts. It sounds like they've done a great job with the community and in their outreach to the neighbors and others. So I don't know, you know, how far we can go in sending messages to the groups so that they know they can continue on and bring us back some ideas of how this can work into the community.
Well, Jen, not to put you on the spot, are we putting the city at any disadvantage to come back with us with more information in March, so that if this committee makes its recommendation to move forward with this plan amendment, that they would all of that then would come to the governing board in April, as I understand it? Is that correct?
That would be correct. If we went back and made some changes to specify a few key points within these amendments, I do want to, I'm looking at John Hitchcock as far as just the planning and design of the rec center.
Well, in talking with Jim Marino, who's our capital improvement project manager, we were hoping to start site work once TRPA approves the project, and that would be beginning as soon as grading season starts. I'm not sure how this amendment would affect that ability to start project at the beginning of grading season. So we're concerned with that timeline. I would recommend, or at least if we can move forward with just limiting the amendment just to the rec center itself, the city, I think, is amenable to that, and that would at least allow us to kind of move forward. And then when we come back with area plan in the fall, we can look at the whole 56-acre site in its relationship to the adopted master plan, as well as all the other standards that we will have to take a look at when we go through that planning process.
And Mr. Chair, if I could add just one more comment. After, if and when the TRPA governing board takes action on the amendments, there is a 60-day grace period, so to speak, before those amendments actually take effect.
Bill.
Okay. So does that, Cindy, does that address your question about flexibility if we limit this to the rec center, allow everything to kind of move forward, and then they would, the city seems to be making the commitment that with this master plan that they've already approved, they then would put that all together into a Bijou area plan that would then come back to us for all the rest of whatever would happen on 56 acre. I think so.
If the city is willing to revise that request, I want to see this reinvestment and community thought process. I really like the design elements that I saw, but obviously the final design, I'm not sure where our role in our pick. We approved the area plan, but then at TRPA, we see the full project, materials, all of that. Is that correct?
Right. We just want to make sure that we're implementing our regional plan and we're carrying forth things. And this is an amendment to a community plan done well before the 2012 regional plan. We've already made a couple of adjustments to a community plan without an area plan. I think our staff has wanted this area plan to be done, but I understand the city was doing this good master plan work. As Steve pointed out, a lot of work probably went into this. They had a public vote on getting a funding for it. It's a good thing. I'm just concerned about, I'd like to just approve what we're going to approve in April in this amendment.
I understand. So. Thank you.
Okay, well, I guess I'll leave it to my colleagues on the committee as to how you would like to proceed.
Mr. Chair, this is Maria. Can I interrupt?
Yes.
Steve DeShera has raised his hand again. I don't know if you will entertain another comment.
Well, I closed public comment, so I think in interest of time and whatnot, I think I need to move along here.
Thank you.
Yes, Shelley.
You know, I support your proposal. I don't want to hinder this project either. I think it appears to be a great project, but doing what you suggest is consistent with what we did with the Tahoe Community College and the Lake Tahoe Unified School District, allowing, you know, height issues for particular projects to be addressed by the TRPA on an individual basis. I don't know why we should not do that in this case as well. But again, I am sympathetic to the city's desire to move forward, and I don't want to be a hindrance to that. But I really think we need to look at this, given the size of the project area, need to look at these development proposals on an individual basis if possible.
I guess the difference is that we're waiving that height now for all those that we don't, whereas for the college, each individual one will come to us to be seen as to consistency with the overall thing.
Right, and that's why I'm...
The way I read this plan amendment is that all quasi and all public facilities would have the benefit of this height amendment and the shed-like development, everything that kind of goes with that, and the change from the... That's a done deal. We will have approved that.
Well, no, I understand that distinction, and that's why I'm supporting your proposal. But I don't know why we're doing this differently than what we did
right.
With the community college, where we.
I thought it was just going to be the rec center, and then I started reading the language and realized it applied to all buildings.
Correct.
So that's my principal concern, and then I realized that they did a master plan, but we haven't seen it. And all those stuff. So it would be nice, as John said, to be put that into the area plan. So I don't want to hold up this project. I would like to get it on the same thing. And I think that's Cindy's interest. And so if we want to make a recommendation to move forward with just the rec center with these changes, I'm fine with that.
I would propose we do that.
Okay. That's your motion?
That's my motion, such as it
okay.
is.
Okay. All right, so we had that would be a motion to recommend to the TRPA Governing Board approval of the required findings. And a finding, do we have the errata sheet language in front of us, Jen?
I do, but
we should have a slide for that as well, Mr. Chair. There we go.
So this would be just limited to the recreation center.
So, let me attempt this. I move to recommend to the TRPA Governing Board approval of the required findings as described in Attachment D, and the finding of no significant effect is provided in Attachment B for adoption of the Bijou Alto Community Plan amendments as described in the staff report, but limited to the recreation center only.
Okay. It's pretty clear. Thank you, Shelley. Any questions? Would you please call the roll, Maria?
Ms. Alding?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Mr. Bruce?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman?
Yes.
Mr. Lawrence?
Yes.
Mr. Yates?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, that motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Recommend to the TRPA Governing Board adoption of Ordinance 2022-, amending Ordinance 2020-04 as previously amended to amend the Bijou El Tahoe Community Plan as shown on Attachment E, Exhibit 1, as it relates to the recreational center only.
Thank you, Shelley. Seeing no questions in my chat, will you please open the roll on this motion?
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Ms. Aldine?
Yes.
Mr. Bruce?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman?
Yes.
Mr. Lawrence?
Yes.
Mr. Yates?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, that motion passes.
Thank you very much. John, I appreciate your patience with us. And Jen, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee.
Okay. We'll close this item and we'll move on to item number four, committee member comments. Are there any member comments the committee members want to make about, I see no comments on my chat, so I will pass on that. And we'll move on to the overall public interest comments to the committee. That's our final matter of business in our general public interest comment period. Any member of the public wishing to address the Regional Plan Implementation Committee on any item listed or not listed on the agenda may do so at this time. Individuals or groups who have already commented on items listed on the agenda are not permitted to comment on the same topic. The Regional Plan Implementation Committee is prohibited by law from taking immediate action or discussing issues raised by the public during the public comment period. Maria, are there any commenters?
Yes, we have one hand raised, Natalie Yanish. You may address the committee.
Hello, can you hear me okay?
Yes, fantastic. I can, Natalie.
My apology, I was trying to raise my hand. I'm not sure, I don't think it came through on your end regarding the Bijou Altajo Amendment. I'm quite disappointed to just see the rec center carved out of that as an approval from TRPA. As some of the commenters had said, there has been a pretty robust dialogue within our community here and going through this process. And I don't see that we should be tying the city's hands just to one item within that area. I understand your concerns and comments in the overall process. However, this has been a long time coming and I'd hate to see the project delayed by any means. But I also think it goes to the bigger issue of the TRPA and the local jurisdictions and how they can work together. And so a lot of work has been done on this, and then it, you know, comes before you to put it onto the TRPA board, and then it has to go back. So it feels like there's a lot of back and forth. I'm a community member. I use the facilities there. If anybody would like to take a tour of them, I can show you the existing facilities. And I believe that would give you a better idea of what actually exists on the ground and what great improvements the city is proposing here. So I think this project is incredibly important for our community, but it's also going to have a lot of environmental benefit and impact as well. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for taking the time to make the comment. Appreciate that. Thank you. Any other comments?
Mr. Chair, there are no other hands raised.
Thank you very much. So I'll close the public comment period, and now we're at the ready for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Someone make that motion? Okay. Here, all those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right. Thank you very much.